Do you remember your dreams? Some of us can remember dreams quite vividly. Others seem to forget the details of them quite quickly. Many people feel reluctant to discuss their dreams with anyone other than those closest to them. Dreams can be frightening, amusing, or they can tell us interesting things that are going on in our minds. And sometimes a dream does seem to predict something that happens to us. It's a fascinating subject. Dreams occur a lot in the Bible. Jacob, in the book of Genesis, had a dream, and he saw a ladder between earth and heaven with angels going up and down it. He realized that God had come to him that day and made the place holy. Joseph, in the Old Testament, had a dream about fat cows and lean cows, which foretold the years of famine and years of plenty. Joseph, in the Old Testament, of course, prefigures Christ. And then the Magi, they're warned in a dream not to report back to Herod when they'd found the Christ child, and they're told in the dream to return to their own country by another route. And then in today's gospel, we hear about another Joseph, the fiancé of Mary, having a dream. Matthew says, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. In Matthew's telling of the story, Joseph takes center stage. It is he who is visited by the angel and told that the child Mary is carrying is to be the Savior. Matthew describes Joseph as a righteous man. And we can take that to mean that he was a law-abiding Jew. I think we'd all like to know more about Joseph and Mary. Just as we'd like to know a bit more about the shepherds and the wise men. But none of them really are the focus of the story. It's the one who is to be born who is the focus of the story. Matthew shapes the story to put the focus on Christ. And he does so in a number of ways. His story begins with the words, "Now the birth of Jesus took place in this way." The word translated as birth in the Greek means Genesis. And it appears here in verse 18 of chapter 1, for the second time in Matthew's Gospel. The first time was in verse 1. St. Matthew wants his readers to think of Jesus' birth in the context of the creation story. But there's another important structural link in this story that Matthew wants us to understand. When the angel tells Joseph about the child Mary is bearing, he instructs him to name him Emmanuel, God with us. And that's very interesting because the gospel ends, 26 chapters later, with the words of Jesus to his disciples, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of time." Emmanuel. Joseph had a choice. When he discovered Mary was pregnant, he could have done the right thing. The right thing in Jewish law would be to divorce her quietly. But when the angel came and told him that she was bearing the Messiah, he said yes to God. He opened himself to the possibility of God's ongoing creative activity in the world. He opened himself to that God might be doing something new. so we can all learn from this. Firstly, we can learn the need for obedience to God. God, speaking in a dream by an angel, asked Joseph to do something. He could have said no, but he was obedient. And sometimes God asks us to do things for him. We have the choice to say no, but we need to be obedient. And secondly, we learn about trusting in God's promises that all will be well. It takes a lot of courage to trust in God. Both Mary and Joseph had to trust God. And indeed, obedience and trust are words that apply to us as followers of Christ. There's a story of a man walking along a cliff path one day, and he slips over the side of the cliff. And as he falls, he grabs hold of a branch that's growing out of the side of the cliff. He hangs from the branch, looking down the rocks on the beach below. And although he's not a religious man, he thinks he'll offer up a prayer. "Is there anybody there?" he cries. And sure enough, the voice of God comes forth and says, "Yes, my son, I'm here. Have faith. Let go of the branch, and my angels will come and lower you down in safety to the beach below. Have faith and let go of the branch." The man thinks for a moment and says, "Is there anybody else there?" When God asks us to do something, it takes great trust and great faith to do as he asks. And Joseph had that faith and that trust to do what God asked him to do. Well, we've been focusing on Joseph, but of course, today we also focus on Mary, the mother of the Lord. Without her yes to God, this wonderful story would never have taken place. It's difficult for a man to understand what it must have been like for Mary to travel to Bethlehem on a donkey, pregnant, heavily pregnant. It's a journey of about 80 miles. I'd find that exhausting in a car, let alone on a donkey. So we think of Mary's obedience, her humility, her courage, and above all, her trust in God. So on this fourth Sunday of Advent, when we think back of those who were prepared for the coming of the Lord, the patriarchs, the prophets, John the Baptist, and finally Mary, the mother of the Lord, let us remember it is our duty to tell others the true meaning of Christmas. That wonderful news that Christ came to bring. Some time ago, I read in the newspaper that in a survey in England, 1 in 5 people under the age of 30 say that we can read about Father Christmas in the Bible. What a muddled generation we have become. So to use that cliche, let's put Christ back into Christmas. Amen.